This evening to Judges, chapter 7. We'll have a word of prayer before we begin to read. Dearly Father, again, we are thankful for our salvation. Lord, we're thankful that we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Dearly Father, we mentioned about the things that are going on in the world tonight, the Super Bowl. And dear Lord, they talk about the advertisements, and the night's activity will be discussed for no doubt days, week or so. And dearly Father, we're thankful that we can have the Word of God before us. Amen. And Lord, we ask you to be with us, to help us, to encourage us, dear Lord. Heavenly Father, we're not discouraged with the thought of the attraction of the things that the world is after. But Lord, our discouragement is one sense of saddened to their interest, yes, of zero interest to the things of God. And Lord, we ask you to be with us and stay faithful. And dear Lord, we ask you to help us, dear Lord, that we may lead one. Dear Lord, that we may help one, dear Lord, to make heaven their home one day. Dear Lord, that we may stand before you and there's one soul because of our influence, because of our walk, because of the word that we might have presented to them. Whatever it might be, dear Lord, that would be a goal to us, dear Heavenly Father. So Lord, we ask you to be with us and help us tonight. Dear Lord, you see some of the thoughts we have this evening. And Lord, we ask you to be with us, keep us encouraged. We ask you to anoint the word, anoint me, and I'll bring it as you would have us to. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So in Judges chapter 7, if you're familiar with the book, you know the story that's here. This is the story of Gideon. I'm just going to read a couple verses here, the highlights of it. We're going to look at verse 2. You know the story of Gideon here. And verse 2, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give to the Midianites into their hand. Lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And they returned to the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. You know, as I studied a little bit of this this afternoon and getting a little bit deeper into thoughts, here we see that Gideon had 32,000, and we've mentioned in maybe 80,000 or more in a stadium. That's not even half of that. But 32,000 men going into battle was a good bit of men. And God told Gideon here, he says, go to the men and ask them, whosoever is afraid or fearful, go home. 27,000 men, or 22,000 men went home. Now, a little bit of study, it says that they were going against the Midianites. There was 135,000 of those. So in a sense, 35,000 compared to 135,000, there might be real concern to be afraid when you're looking at the natural. Not looking at what God can do, but when you're looking at the natural. But God told Gideon here in verse 2, he says, there's too many people. And he says, if you were to gain the victory, or I were to give you the victory, you would lift yourself up. You would say, we're the ones that won this battle against the Midianites. And Israel would just vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath served me. So we see here that Gideon had 32,000 men to fight. But God said there's too many. So 22,000 left, leaving them with 10,000 men left. And we know that God still said to Gideon, he said, that's still too many. And he told him to take the men down by the water. And he says, those men that bend over and drink the water like a dog, just lap the water.
He goes, those men, I also want you to send home. But those men that go down and dip their hand in the water and drink from their hand, those are the ones that I will take. So Gideon did that, and he putteth those that putteth their mouth to the water and drank like a dog was 9,700 men that returned and left home. And Gideon was only left with 300 men. Now, I believe that would pretty much take any spark out of you at all, knowing you're going against 135,000 men against 300. Quite a big difference. And we know that God, how God dealt with Gideon and how they won this battle. And we see that Gideon had to take these 300 men and break them down in 100 group each, 100, 200, or 100 men in each group and the three groups. And they were to take the lamp and go upon the mountains there and around the Midianites. And they took the trumpet. And when Gideon and his 100 men had blown the trumpet, that they were to all to break the glass of the pitchers, where the lamps were to shone. And the other 200 men also were to do the same. And all 300 men were to break the glass and to blow the trumpet and to say, and they held the lamp and to shout, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. And God set the sword against the hosts of the Midianites, and they destroyed one another. They fought against one another and killed most of one another, and then they fled from the face of Gideon. Wonderful battle. Wonderful victory. Wonderful thing that many times that God allows his men and his children to see great victory. This was a great victory for Gideon and his men. And as I mentioned, there was 135,000 Midianites, and that equals out 450-1 was the ratio. There wasn't no way they could win.
Not very good odds.
Not 450 men to one. It was impossible for them to win. And in verse 3, as God told them, there, and that's the thought that I want to look at this evening. Whosoever is fearful and afraid, go home. You ever get afraid of the battle? You ever get fearful of the battle? You ever get weary and tired sometimes and not knowing what way to battle? Does the battle sometimes look like it's overwhelming to us many times? Yes. Sometimes that ratio in a spiritual attitude of 450-1 against me, we get afraid, we get fearful. Let's go to Psalms chapter 27. In Psalms chapter 27 and verse 3, he says, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear, though the war shall rage against me, and this will I be confident. David says here, though the host and the evil, though things of all things may press on, though they encamp about me, though they should surround me, though they should encompass me to serve me, though the host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Gideon, all those men that are afraid, I want them to go home. And I know there's a lot of thoughts that we could probably draw out of those and out of the other 9,700 that went home. And I know the different thoughts with them drinking and all that. There's all kind of thoughts. But the thought I want to bring here is about the thought of fear. And we do face a battle, an enemy, that for one thing that we know, we cannot face ourselves. We have zero power over the enemy of the soul unless it's through Jesus Christ. We have nothing of ourselves. We have no battle. He's greater at wits than we are. He's more clever. He's more deceptive than we are. Those things. The only protection we have is through Jesus Christ. Amen. To keep that arm of protection, to keep him, keep a hedge about us here. And he says there, even though that the enemy, they should encamp about us,
And the enemy, he encamps about us many times. I thank God for the salvation of God, that he keeps him at bay. And I often mention a lot of times with Job, when God when devil went to Job, or God one time, he says, I'm going to and fro through the earth looking for someone to agitate, basically. I'm trying to find somebody worthy. He said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, I have, but you've got a hedge about it. Thank God for the hedge. I tell you, as saints of God, we don't ever want to come to the place where we tell the Lord, let me battle the enemy, because we will not live. If the enemy had his way, we would not say another word. God would kill us, or the enemy would kill us. Just wipe every one of us out. He'll kill every single one of us. He'll take us out. He don't care about us. He has no love whatsoever. But I thank God for the grace of God that can take care of us, even though he's sitting there and having a desire to destroy us and having a desire to overcome us, me sing. But he said, my enemy encamps about me, but my heart shall not fear. Though the war shall raise against me, and in this will I be confident that God will take care of me. The enemy many times likes to play on our fear. You ever notice that? Your whole life, you ever been real fearful of things? You know, it's amazing. Our body's amazing how the chemistry of our body. You know, when you really get afraid, how quickly your body will sweat and shake and almost will sometimes... I mean, some things can be fearful that are just little things. Some people can be afraid of a mouse runner. They freeze. You just freeze. You know, some people can run. Some people can scream. But there's a reaction that fear comes to us, that our bodies react to it, and they sweat. I remember, I might have told you this one time. I was pretty young. I was still living at home, my mom and dad were away on vacation or something, and it was... not summertime, but probably in the warmer temperatures where the windows and everything were open in the house. And I had just gotten in bed and laid in bed, and I thought for sure I heard somebody down the hallway. Now, at the time, we didn't have any guns, so to speak, that were accessible to me. I literally froze in the bed. I'm like, I can't move. I'm like, I figured there was somebody coming down. I didn't know what to do. But my body just, there was fear that came over me. And you freeze. And you don't know what to do. And some people, I've had this experience a little bit, just one time. Thank the Lord I was able to overcome this. Some people get up on a roof or a high ladder. And they get up there and the height overcomes them and they seize up. They freeze. I was on a roof one time. We were up in the country. And I had to go up on the roof to hand a gentleman a tool, and it was a double-tier roof, and it was real high, and I scooted it across the peak. I had to go up on one roof, then climb a ladder to go up on the next roof, and I scooted across, handing the tool, and when I came back, the fear of coming from one roof to the other, it held me. I couldn't move. And I had to bring myself, just collect my thoughts and say, just don't look out that way. Don't look around. And I had to just bring, I thought, I can see me now, them having a fire company come get me off this roof. But fear. But the devil can play on our fears when he knows that there's a problem, when he knows there's something that can really trouble us. He tries to make that larger than what it may even can be.
That's right.
Some of the fears that the enemy brings to us is a big fear that I think is a troubling to many people is what? I got a pain.
Yeah.
What if it's cancer? I got a pain. What if it's a tumor? My eyes are affecting me. I know Brother Danny went through that with his eye. And I'm certain maybe the enemy tried to trouble him with it. What if? What if something happened? What if something may never happen, but he allows us to try to worry us, allows us to get fear, allows us to get our place where we don't trust in God as we should, or have that confidence, as David says, though the enemy encamps about me, my heart shall not fear. He tries to get us to what if. You know, a big what if we all faced, everybody in the entire world for the last couple years, was COVID. You know? Was this February? A couple years ago? It wasn't really here yet. We heard about it.
And I can remember when we started to hear about it, it may have been in the United States in January, but we really didn't see the effects till a little bit, a couple months. Yeah. But we heard about it, and I can remember in my mind, oh, that won't make it here. But what if it did? Mm-hmm. And of course, we had no idea what would happen after, you know, what all did happen. But COVID. And the big things that they always they tried to put on us and everything, the fear and all that and things. So thank the Lord we kind of got some of that somewhat behind us and all, majority of that. But the devil gets us to what if, the fret over life, the concern over things. And David says here, though the enemy should encamp about me, my heart shall not fear. I know that's words easier said than sometimes taken by faith. But we have to take that by faith. It's true. Turn over a couple pages of Psalms chapter 37. Just a few pages in Psalms 37. In verse 1, David says here, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." But David said, "I shall not fear," but he also says here, don't fret. Don't worry about what could happen, what may happen, what may never ever happen in things. Fret not. And no doubt with Gideon and all his men looking to go into battle, there was concern. Those 300 men, they must have been some very confident men. I thought about this a little bit this afternoon. I was looking at, I thought, you know, there's a point to where you're not afraid maybe to go into battle. But when it's 450 to 1 ratio, 135,000 to 300, there's something that should click that says something, a little bit of wisdom. But what confidence they may have had more in Gideon and God than they did themselves. That's what kept them there, and that's what helped them stay there. But David says not to fret. Fret not because of evildoers. We can be fearful of things that happen around our world, our country, our individual homes, and our lives. And we can also fret over these things. The devil does his best to try to get us to look at the battle. To look at the mountain in front of us. To look at some situations that are maybe in our lives and to dwell on. What is our attitude? Are we like the 22,000 men that go home? Get fearful? We're going to look at several songs here this evening. And one of them I didn't know Sister Linda was going to play, but we're going to discuss that one a little bit. That's one song that I really enjoy. But the first song I'm going to look at is in page 232, Songs of Victory. Gideon had a great victory. You and I, we've been living for the Lord a while. We've had some victories in our lives over battles that we could not win ourselves. Over things that we looked at in mountains and problems and situations and we trusted in God. That didn't mean it going away every day or on a day. It may have gone on for maybe weeks, months, years even. But God gave us a victory through the end. But this Psalms of Victory, verse 1. Let's look at here just a little bit. Psalms of Victory bring unto the Lord Most High. While victory we are singing, let all the saints draw nigh. I like this next verse. I really like this next verse here. Or the next line here in this first stanza. For there can be no failure. You have to have confidence in that. There can be no failure. While Jesus leads the van, while Jesus is in control of our lives, while we put Christ forward in our life, put him number one in our life, we cannot fail through Jesus Christ. And victory, victory, victory is heard on every hand. Verse 2. Songs of victory ever shall be our heart's delight. Sometimes it takes some faith. It takes some faith. That's going to be our heart's delight, that we're going to have victory through Christ regardless of what we go through. We'll sing of defeat, no, never. Sing victory with all of our might. We'll raise our voices higher upon the battlefield. Now we're talking about faith now. This song has encouraged me more than one time in these couple verses. That one I said, for there can be no failure while Jesus leads the van. And this verse here, and victory, the third line there, or the second, yeah, third line, we'll raise our voices higher upon the battlefield. Right, not before we get there, not after we've gone through the battle, but right in the middle of the battle. I always think of that song Sister Ann sings from time to time. And I think about the one little part there where it says, when the wisest men have spoken. And you're hopeless. But God. But God. Can we rise our voices higher? Lord, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to look at you. We rise our voices higher upon the battlefield. Our victory draweth nigher when Christ shall be revealed. Songs of victory. Victory shall be the chorus. Victory our watchword and song. Jesus is marching before us, leading his armies along. You got victory? You had victory in battles. Gideon had no idea that God was going to, or I should say, he had no idea how God was going to deliver the children of Israel in the Midianites' hand. He had no idea. He just trusted God. And we think about that. We always try to read some of the little in-betweens. There's not a whole lot there. But we read some of those things. When Gideon had 32,000 men and 10,000 or 22,000 of them went home, how do you think Gideon's heart felt? Probably sunk. I'm like, everybody left. Yeah. And then the next group leaves. There are almost 10,000 there. He's only left with 300 men. You're going to have some faith after that. Victory. We're going back to the song here a little bit. Let's look at Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6. This is another story that I like. Brother Bush and I were the same way. We like the battle songs. We like to hear about the victories and the battles. This is 2 Kings chapter 6, picking up in verse 15. And when the servant of the man of God raised up early and gone forth, behold, a host encamped the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? David said, when the enemy encamps about us, I shall not fear. This young man is with Elisha here. And Elisha was in the city there. I think of Dothan here. And he was in the city. And the young man looked up and they got up early. And the entire city was encamped about. There was the enemy out there of horses and chariots. The entire city was there. And it was only the young man and Elisha. It wasn't 300, it was only two. We mentioned that at the beginning of the service. God says, where two or three are gathered in the midst, where two or three are gathered in my name, I shall be in the midst. There was only two of these, Elisha and this young man. He says, what are we going to do? Yeah. Verse 16, and he answered, fear not. I say, Lord, help us from time to time. I think sometimes I often wonder how the Lord smiles down on us. When Peter, when he got off that boat, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come. Come on. And Peter got off the boat and started walking to Jesus on water. But fear came upon him. He got his eyes off Jesus Christ. And fear came around him. He got to looking around. And that's what the devil wants us to do. Right in the middle of the battle, right in the trials of the battle, he wants you to not look towards Christ, but look at this going on. Look at that going on. Look at all the enemy encamped about us. And Elisha said here in verse 16, he said in answer, fear not. For they that are with us are more than they that be with them. I can see the young man looking. It's only you and I. But he hadn't had his eyes open yet. And in verse 17, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes and that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around about
Elisha.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes we need to ask God when we see all the enemy encamped about us, when we see the burdens and the trials and the threats and the what ifs, we need to rise above. One song, I think I made a comment to it, and a little bit different thought. When the song says, I rise above all doubt and strife and see my title clear. Sometimes we got to rise above all the battles and the trials that are with us, and we need to look to Christ that's our victory. Victory. And that song that I just made to you there, victory, our watchword and song. How I look at that particular statement there, it's everything. Victory is everything. We are promised victory. We are guaranteed victory. You know, sometimes the enemy has challenged me sometimes when I think about victory and battles. He said, what if you die? Well, that's victory in a sense.
Victory right there, yeah.
When we get sick or whatever, and we think, well, we may not live. And we pray, God, we want some God to raise them up. Maybe they might die.
There's a verse. If I can find it too, I don't know if I wrote them down or not. There's a verse in Isaiah that God... I'll share this a little bit with you. You may or may not have remembered me saying this. But back last summer, I had a battle. And I'll tell you what it was. I don't remember, I don't think I was sick. But the devil had a fear of death on me. And it wasn't a week or two, it was months.
Afraid of dying. Afraid of anything. Heart attack, stroke, anything. Cancer. Just he had a fear of me. And I prayed and I prayed and I said, Lord, I can't live like this. I can't allow this fear to be upon me and to be a child of God in a successful way like that. I need victory over this. And it was back last summer and some things and I read this verse. Now, this verse didn't necessarily help me to overcome that situation. But this verse in Isaiah 57, the righteous perish, and no man lay hold to it. And no man lay hold to the heart. And merciful men are taken away. None consider that. The righteous is taken away from the evil to come. Lord, why'd you take him? Why'd you take her? Maybe there was some evil ahead of them. Maybe there was some trials or battles ahead of them that they just couldn't take. Yeah. The Bible says, God says, I'll not allow you to go through any battle that you're not able to withstand. And if you are not able, I'll make a way of escape. That escape sometimes may be death. And that may be a blessing to us, the saints of God.
That's true.
I thank God, God helped me to get over that. That's gone from me for now anyway. I thank the Lord for that. But it was so real for a period of time there. And I remember praying to the Lord. I mean, it wasn't just a little bit here. I mean, it was almost consuming my thoughts. I don't know why. But God helped me to get through that.
Thank you, Lord.
There's a song, another one. I didn't write these down. I don't know if I can find this one either. But I can quote it probably better than you may know where. Oh, here it is. Psalms 116 and verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You know, the enemy sometimes, that what if, that fear, that fret, oh, you're going to die. For the saints of God, that's promotion. I know we don't want, I know we're not asking God to die. I know we don't want to die premature. I know we don't want to die young and things. But for the saints of God, I remember Aunt Sissy said years before she passed away, if you do my funeral, I want you to say that I didn't pass. I was promoted from this life to glory. I was promoted. I was going home. But the devil tries to get us. What if that happens? That happens. And we love our loved ones. We care for our loved ones. And we pray for them and things. But don't allow the devil to beat us and take that part of us to where we get fearful over it. That's the grace of God. If he wants to take us home, to take us home. Verse 1 of that verse, it was Songs of Victory. It says, victory, victory, victory is heard on every hand. I said, Lord, help us. When the battles of life come in, for whatever they may be, do people see us fret and worry?
Or do they see victory in their lives? I'm going to trust God. And I know that that's sometimes easier to say than it is to do. But sometimes we need to rise up. It says victory, victory, victory is heard on every hand. Verse 2 says, we raise our voices higher upon the battlefield. Right in the midst of the battle. I'm going to praise God. Well, you're a hypocrite if you do. You know the battle you're in. You know the trial you're in. Thank God I'm saved. And my desire is to keep pressing on and being faithful to God. That's always something. Sometimes we don't have to go through a big, long testimony. Thank God I'm saved. I'm pressing forward by the grace and help of the Lord.
This verse 4 in this psalm, victory, or psalms of victory blending with all the heavenly throne. A chorus that has no ending. It is the victor's song. We'll sing and shout forever. Glad songs of victory. We'll sing of Christ our Savior through all eternity. I wasn't going to read the song. I was just going to make comment of it. But as Sister Linda played that, and as I was singing it, 184, another song that I enjoy, Stand Up for Jesus. The verses said, you know, it's difficult to read a song. It's easier to sing it than to read it. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall be led, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus. Trumpet call, obey. For to the mighty conflict, in this his glorious day, ye that are men now serving, against unnumbered foes, just like Gideon, just like David. And we are against some unnumbered battles sometimes, but thank God. He says, against unnumbered foes, let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor and watching unto prayer, where calls the voice of duty, be never wanting there. Help us, Lord. Amen. Who's fearful? Go home. I'm going home. Who does something improper or whatever? They get sent away. Where calls the voice of duty, be never wanting there. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to that. That doesn't mean we're not afraid. That doesn't mean we don't understand, but we have confidence in Christ and we're following Christ. As long as Jesus is leading the van, we'll have victory. The verse, last verse, stand up for Jesus. Thank God for this next verse, and this can be encouraging. This next line, the strife will not be long. This day, the noise of battle, the next, the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the kings of glory shall reign eternally. Victory. Stand up for Christ. The chorus in that other song says, victory, our course, our watchword. The victory of the chorus says, our watchword and song. You know, a lot of times people get defeated before they even get started. We have to make sure our anchor is in Christ. The parable that Jesus gave one time of the parable and the seed, or the sower and the seed. I look at that from time to time. I say, Lord, help us. There's four grounds that the word of God fell upon. And that four grounds represents the entire humanity. All mankind. The first ground, I think it went along the wayside. As the word of God fell, the enemy took that right away. Just snatched it right away. The next one fell along the thorns. Or it fell along the stony ground, it was. The second one was, I think, fell along the stony ground. And the Bible said it lay there. It wasn't a whole lot of dirt there, just a little bit. And the seed grew roots and grew up quick. But the sun got hot, the battles got hot.
And they didn't have confidence in the victory in Jesus Christ. And they withered away. The third one was they fell upon thorns. And they grew up, the thorns grew with them, the snares and all that, the things of life just overcome them and things. They let the things of life take them all, and they withered away, and they were choked out. But of all four grounds, there was one ground, the Bible says, it fell upon good ground, and you and I are that good ground. And I say, Lord, help me. I wasn't that good ground because of anything that I've done, but by the grace of God, it fell upon me, and it grew, and it produced fruit. And I need to keep my faith in the things of God. And that song says victory, our watchword and song. If we can't just live for God on the surface. We can't live for God a little bit here, a little bit there. Sometimes we have to live for God fully. Our watchword and song, our entire life. Because the devil will try to get us to be afraid. The children of Israel were afraid when they went into the land of Canaan. Moses sent in 12 men. 12 spies, a man from each tribe. All 12 came back with a good report. It's a good land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Look at the grapes we gathered. But there was fear among 10 of them. There was fear among 10 of them. They said it's a good land. It's a great land that God has for us. But there's giants in the land, and we are as grasshoppers in their eyes, and we cannot be overcome of those. They were the 300 to 135,000 in a spiritual sense the same way. We can't do it. But Joshua and Caleb, they said, we're more than able. See, Joshua and Caleb, they remembered a little bit back there the Red Sea when they were standing there at the Red Sea. And they had the Red Sea in front of them, and Pharaoh and all his army coming in behind them. They were done. They had nothing. They had nowhere to go. And God provided a way. And they said the same thing there. I believe they had confidence because of what they seen back there, what they seen in Egypt, and when they were in Egyptian bondage, they seen God's hand work there. They had that confidence, and they said, we are more than able to do this battle. But the people didn't listen to those two. Because of fear. Because of fear. Fear, the enemy, as I said earlier in the message here, he loves to play on our fear. All we have to hear is news of anything. And the enemy starts throwing fear at us. Starts throwing things at us to make us be afraid. Children of Israel fought against Goliath. Goliath showed up and they all ran. They were all afraid. But David went up there to the front battle front, and Goliath showed up and mocked the armies of God. And David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He wasn't afraid because he had confidence in God. I know that he had confidence because of the lion and the bear and the things of God, but that was through God's helping him. He didn't do that himself. He said, this uncircumcised, and he told Saul there, he said, this uncircumcised Philistine will be just as one of those, not in my power, but through God. He goes, I'll destroy him just like I destroyed those lion and bear out there. All those men that were men of war were afraid. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 29. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. I say, Lord, help us to have faith in that verse. Amen. The fear of man bringeth a snare. There was a year, at least. A year where that word COVID shocked every one of us, shook us, fearful us, shut the entire world down. for a period of time. Many other things could come up. We don't have any idea. There's not a one of us in this room that's ever lived or we even really heard of anything like that ever before in history that I know of, I think of, that this a disease to come up and shut the world down, so to speak. And we have no idea. We had no idea they could have that such of an impact on us or the world. And we have no idea what could be out in the future that could have even a more devastating impact. But God says here in verse 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Job said one time to God, he goes, though he slay me, I'll trust him. God allowed the devil to do whatever he wanted to Job, and Job did not count God foolish in any sense. He says, though he will slay me, I'm going to trust God. Lord, help us. That we don't have the fear, that we don't allow the enemy to work through the fear of men, that we may trust in God. The Lord tells us not to be afraid what men can do. And in that page 233, the first verse, it says, I'm going to go back over there real quick, 233, different psalm. It says, press on. And the first verse says, press on, my brother, sister, and face the deadly foes. Through Jesus we shall conquer while traveling here below. Press on, says Christ, our loving friend. Press on, I'm with thee to the end. We have that promise by God himself. May the Lord bless you as we have a song. If you'd like to get a songbook and stand, turn to page 369.
Eternal, may I enter, Lord, with thee.